And the subject of the morning is the title of a great hymn that is our theme, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. The text of the morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading beginning at verse 23. And you will quickly recognize this passage as the familiar words of institution for the Lord's Supper. You will find the text on page 998 if you'd like to follow along as I read. This is the word of the Lord. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon themselves." The text of the morning is verse 28. And I like the way Eugene Peterson, in his fine translation of the New Testament, captures the text. He says, "Examine your motives, test your hearts, and come to this meal with a holy awe." Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name. Amen. On every Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper here at this church at 8:30 in the Wilson Chapel. The particular purpose of this sermon is to prepare you and me for that service, and in particular, for the service which will be held on Thanksgiving Eve, November 25. As we gather in the fellowship hall to receive this year's confirmation class, we will celebrate with that 100 kids. Many of them will be taking their first communion. We will be celebrating, as we gather there, the future as seen in the life of those children, our commitment to Christ as we gather around those tables as a family, and our community of faith as we give thanks for each other and the opportunities we have to love, to care, and to share. The theme hymn was written by Charlotte Elliott, who was a young agnostic. And one day she was asked if she were a Christian, and she frankly resented someone prying into what she regarded as being essentially a private matter. But that simple inquiry as to whether or not she was Christian gnawed at her until finally she went to see a minister. And she had just one question to ask: what does one do to become a Christian? And he told her that all she had to do was to ask Jesus Christ to come into her heart and to accept him as her Savior. The story of Charlotte Elliott is a profound and moving story. The words of the great hymn that is our theme has probably touched more hearts in world Christianity than any hymn ever written. It has served as the hymn of invitation at every Billy Graham crusade since Dr. Graham began to preach and conduct crusades. And he has now personally preached to more than 100 million people. And only God knows how many people have heard Dr. Graham on telecast to the world and to the nations of the world down through the years. So this hymn, which rose essentially out of a context of deep suffering, has been a force for God and for good in world Christianity. Charlotte Elliott was born in Clapham, England on March 18, 1789. By the time she was 30 years old, her health began to fail rapidly and quickly. She became bedridden, ultimately a total invalid, and she so remained for the rest of her life. A minister visited her home one day to inquire about the state of her health physically and her needs spiritually. It proved to be the turning point in Charlotte Elliott's life. For he said to her, "You must come just as you are, a sinner to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and your sin." It was out of that context that she wrote this hymn. To the day she died, she celebrated the day she accepted Christ on an annual basis as her spiritual birthday. She actually wrote the text for the hymn, "Just As I Am," when she was 47 years old in 1836. There's a hymn book that contains 115 of the hymns that she wrote. And the hymn book has the title, "The Invalid's Hymn Book." In all, she wrote more than 150 hymns. She lived to be 82 years old, and when she died, as those who were close to her went through her personal papers, they found more than 1,000 letters written to her from around the world, all of them expressing appreciation for the hymn, "Just As I Am," without one plea. The scripture lesson that undergirds our theme today is a familiar lesson, the words of institution of the Lord's Supper, written to the Corinthian church, a church that was trying to take hold in a very alien environment. It was a church that was torn with internal tensions and disputes and facing many external challenges because Corinth was a particularly wicked and wide open city. And Paul is saying to them, "You can gather at the Lord's table. It is a point where we can rally and remember who we are and who Christ is." Kenneth Chapin, a very fine Baptist scholar, has said that the Lord's table is rooted in history. It was left for us by a certain man on a certain night. It was, in fact, the night in which he was betrayed. It's also God's gift to us. We see the cost of this table when he says, "This is my body which was broken for you." It is also a celebration of a new covenant, a covenant not based upon obedience as the covenant of works was, but on the full mercy and grace of God that has been satisfied by the sacrifice of Christ. It's a proclamation as well. When we gather at the table on Thanksgiving Eve, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. But we do not just think about his death. We remember his resurrection as well and his victory for you and me. I want just to say two things this morning in response to this lesson. First, we come to the table just as we are. The invitation is inclusive. All of us can come. We are urged to come. There is a refrain from a popular song that is haunting. It says, "Just the way we are." The third verse of Charlotte Elliott's hymn describes us well. "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within without, O Lamb of God, I come." That describes us. Many doubts, many conflicts, fighting and fears and tears and tossed about. If we cannot come just as we are,
and we cannot come. We never measure up. We are not worthy. We know it, and God knows. This table is one place where we can come as we are. Murphy's laws are based on the predictable aspects of the human condition. If anything can go wrong, it will, and at the worst possible time. I read the other day about O'Malley's law. Have you seen those? O'Malley basically believed that Murphy was an optimist. It describes the human condition, doesn't it? Trying to apply Murphy's law to the church, the year's lowest attendance will occur when the bishop makes a surprise visit, if you're Episcopalian or Methodist. Members living 15 miles away will be 15 minutes early. Members living two blocks away will be 15 minutes late. I had three weddings, one recent Saturday, and the same family came to all three of them, about 20 minutes late for each one. If you work in the church, you will find that most of our projectors work perfectly until the class begins. Then they won't work. If you come from a background where there are acolytes, when everything is ready to go, no one can find the matches to light the candles. It's Murphy's Law. It's a part of the human condition. Thank God we can come just as we are. There is a refrain in one of Lyle Lovett's songs. By the way, the morning paper says he's going to be here this week for those who have been longing for an appearance by him. But he has a song that speaks to God's power of mercy and grace, and it goes like this: God will, but I won't. God does, but I don't. And that's the difference between God and me. And that's why we need to come to this table, just as we are. And the second thing I want to note today is that we come with hope. The hope is expressed in the final verse of Charlotte Elliott's hymn, "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come." There's a person who's going to join our church in a few weeks. And the first Sunday she came, she told me that she came up the steps toward the central door and then stopped. She was gripped with anxiety about whether or not we would receive and welcome her and whether she would be accepted here. She turned around and left. Thank God she came back. And when she came back, she came in. And for some months, she has experienced who we are. She felt our friendliness and our warmth and our capacity to care. And she's joining the church. Our hope is based on two realities, really. First, we are not to approach the table of communion with an unexamined life. And secondly, our hope is based on the promises of God to accept us. The lesson of the morning says that we are to examine ourselves lest we approach this table in an unworthy manner. The value of communion depends on the hearts of those who participate and how they participate and the capacity of God to accept us just as we are. There's a scene in the novel, perhaps you've read the novel, All the King's Men, based on the life of Huey Long, a colorful politician of another generation in Louisiana. He instructs one of his associates in the heat of a campaign to get some dirt on a political opponent. And some days later, the associate came back and said, there's no dirt to be found. And Huey Long says, "Keep looking. There's always some dirt." And Huey Long is not only right, but he's biblical. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Warren Wiersbe, a very fine Bible scholar, in his treatment of our text, says that in our examination of ourselves, we should follow a framework. We should look back. The broken bread and the wine remind us of the sacrifice of Christ. We should look ahead, eagerly anticipating all that God can and will do for us in His mercy and His grace. And one day we shall be like Him and see Him face to face. We should look within. None of us are worthy to partake, but we should not partake in an unworthy manner. Some years ago, it was reported to me that one of the elders of our church had been laughing and joking at a Christmas party about how he had been out all night, came by the church to the early service on his way home. He realized as he entered the sanctuary that he was more than a bit tipsy. And upon arriving, remembered that he was, to his horror, supposed to serve communion that day. When I heard about this story that he was telling, I went to see him. And there's a part of the story he was not telling at some of the parties around. He said to me the awareness of how he was living overwhelmed him when he sat in these pews. He not only did not serve communion that day, but did not receive communion. And the experience of sitting in church that morning in that condition when communion was being served changed his life and his behavior, and it should have. We should look around as we receive communion. The church is not a museum for the display of saints, but a school for the nurture and nourishment of sinners. Remember that you and I, all of us, are the body of Christ. Imperfect as we are, the church is the visible sign of God's salvation in this world, and our lives should be a plus for Him and not a negative. As Peterson said in his translation, examine your motives, test your heart, come to the meal in holy awe. There are some questions we need to raise as we come. Do we love God more than we fear hell? Once a week, it would be good for all of us to let a child take a walk with us. We can see through their eyes things we never notice. We should make some of our major decisions standing in a cemetery. It would give us a better perspective on some of the decisions we make. One of the advantages of being a minister is we visit out there pretty frequently. And one day the friends will come and leave and go back to eat that potato salad and that cold ham and talk about us. When no one is watching, we should live as if someone is. Succeed at home first. Don't spend tomorrow's money today. Pray twice as much as you fret. Listen twice as much as you talk. Only harbor a grudge when God is harboring one. Never outgrow your love for sunsets. Treat people like angels and you will meet quite a few of them. 'Tis wiser to err on the side of generosity than on the side of scrutiny. It's far better to major in love rather than criticism. So easy to be carping and critical and censorious, and it's unworthy of the Christian. God has forgiven you and me. Would be wise for us to do the same. When you can't follow God's hand in things, trust His heart. If you have a tendency to toot your own horn, remember that most of those notes will be very flat. The book of life is lived in chapters, so you best know what your page number is. Never let the important be the victim of the trivial. Think on these things before you come to the table on the eve of Thanksgiving. Our examination of ourselves should result in a firm conclusion and a vision of all that we can be by the grace of God. I want to close with a prayer from John Hunter. Dear Master, in whose life I see all that I would but fail to be, let thy clear light forever shine to shame and guide this life of mine. Though what I dream and what I do in my weak ways are always too. Help me, oppressed by things undone, O thou whose deeds and dreams were one. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to the Lord's table on Thanksgiving Eve. We have a lot to think about before we get there. Go now in peace. And as you go, remember that by the goodness of God, you were born. Remember that in the mercy of Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed. Remember that He walks with you every day to comfort, to strengthen, to guide. He promised He would. Lo, I am with you always. And remember that while others have called you servants, He has named you friends. In the strength of that mighty friendship, go forth now to serve in the Master's name. Till we meet again. Amen.